Welcome back, Inebriate. It is your humble host, as always. I feel like I'm losing my voice. I don't know why. So I apologize if I sound a little scratchy. But we are back again today, and we're joined by a singer-songwriter, I guess. I hate the titles don't mean anything anymore in the music industry. But oh my God, I asked you about your last name, and I'm struggling through your first name. Abigail LaPelle, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, great to be here.
So I have to say, I always get, you know, PR stuff, and, you know, they always give me all the, you know, pertinent channels and YouTube video links and yada, yada, yada. And as I've gotten older, I've stopped saying that, like, the music is bad, because I realize I'm like, oh, I'm just not the demographic. But I've been listening to music all morning since I got into the office. I really dig your vibe. Like, you bring back, like, 10,000 Maniac, Edie Brickell kind of vibes. And I feel like you're going to be like on my playlist for those mornings, like after a long night that I just want to kind of like ease into my day.
Cool.
So I'm really digging it. So I'm glad that you came across, you know, that's one of the best parts of this is like finding new music that I'm like, oh man, like I really enjoy this artist. So I'm actually looking forward to talking to you today. But you have a new album coming out May 10th?
That's right, yeah, anniversary. Yep. Coming out May 10th. And it's an album of love songs.
Which some of them have already started to drop. And it was recorded in a, according to the email, a 200-year-old church?
yeah, that's right. Which, where I live, that's considered pretty old.
Okay, yeah.
I know the Europeans in the house will not be impressed by that.
Oh, but, yeah. That's true. Yeah, I forgot.
Or even like your neck of the woods, right? You've probably got a lot of old, cool things around.
200 years, pretty old around here. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we just had our big celebration got derailed by the pandemic because it was the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims landing, and it was supposed to be like this big thing, and they're talking about like presidential visits and. It just went almost completely away. So it was, and they were planning it for like a decade. It was crazy.
Oh man.
Yeah.
400 years in the making.
Yeah. Right. And, so there's some cool old spots around here, but I feel like 200 is still pretty substantial.
Yeah. Well, they say, you know, in North America, 100 years is considered a long time. And in Europe, 100 kilometers is considered a far distance. That's like, what would that be, like 60 miles or something? I don't know how to do that. The conversion.
I can't do that conversion.
That's fine.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But I mean, I was over in Sweden, and our tour guide pointed out like this old wrought iron sign outside of a building, and she's like, oh, that has been a pharmacy for 600 years. And it was just like,
wow.
Unfathomable. Still, and I'm like,
still operating?
Yeah. It was like still open. And then you're like, oh, it was weirdly disappointing. Cause it's like, you're looking at this and you turn your head a little bit and you're like, oh, it's right next to a Taco Bell.
Right. 700-year-old Taco Bell.
That's
so funny.
So
anyway, it was a really beautiful old church.
How and why did that come about?
It was, so I was working with my friend Tony Decker, who is in a band called Great Lake Swimmers, and he's produced all their music largely in sort of unconventional spaces and on location in really, really acoustically interesting spots, like an old, like a grain silo or, an old town hall in this ghost town in the middle of nowhere. And really, we had just been talking about this actually a few years ago, like before the pandemic, we were discussing maybe trying to work together. And it was, for me, it was very kind of outside my comfort zone, working out beyond a traditional recording studio and just the logistics of that, I guess. And, but it was something I just got really inspired chatting with him about, especially as a singer, you know, because being somewhere with this beautiful reverb and very reverberant kind of space really brings out a different side of the performance, I guess. And I mean, with all the music, but especially I feel like I was excited about the idea of that as a vocalist and just, trying something a little different. And so anyway, so a few years chatting about this, and we ended up making it happen last winter when in the this was actually this time last year, which is hard to believe because it's like practically summer right now in Toronto, but it was like this snowy week in Niagara on the Lake Ontario, which is, as you can imagine, on Niagara. And it's like a tourist town. There's a theater festival in the summer. It's usually full of tourists, but in the winter it becomes this really quiet, almost feels like a ghost town. And anyways, so we worked with some local people engineering the album, and it yeah just came together like so beautifully. And that and he had I guess Tony had been looking into this particular church among others, like him and Joe Lipinski, who engineered the album. They kind of had a list, I think, of different just cool spots in the area that might be an option. And like they'd never done anything like that before. The I think it's one of the oldest continuously running churches in the country, and they've never, had a project like this in there before. But they were super sweet and accommodating, and we just like literally set up shop in the middle of this old church, and it just sounded amazing. It was super inspiring and beautiful stained glass everywhere, and yeah.
And you shot
So
videos of it because that's
yeah, that's right.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's awesome. Did you guys mic it differently than you would in a recording studio, like to capture that kind of extra quality that you would get from singing in this place like that?
Yeah, for sure. There were a lot of room mics, like really far, like up in the, I don't know if you can see in the videos, but there's sort of a balcony up top where one of the big organ pipes are. And so there was a bunch of room mics up there, and then the close mics. And it was really fun mixing it too, 'cause there was so much to, it was crazy actually to just look at the session, in the DAW, and see like just it looked like there was hundreds of tracks because we had so many different room mics and different options. And yeah, it was really fun to do that way for sure. I mean, I think it's challenging. That's what I found, I guess, a bit intimidating about doing in a space like that, because we had to bring in absolutely everything. And I guess I thought it would be like a hassle to set up, but it couldn't have been more lovely. And all the personnel that were working on the project were so, it just felt like I was able to just show up and like do my thing and like play the music, man. Like I didn't feel like I had to worry about any of that stuff, and it was really smooth. And I think it's the most fun I've had recording an album for sure. Just like felt really magical. And the nice, it's funny, being in the space, it really makes a big difference versus like, and with all love to, I've had some great experiences at recording studios too, but when you're in a little booth, and it almost feels like you're pretending to play music or pretending
Yeah.
to sing versus like doing, this was most, well, pretty much all live off the floor, at least the main kind of rhythm section and a lot of the vocals. And so it felt like we were just playing in this beautiful space, and really kind of feeling the love. It's a lot of love.
And
That's it.
I feel like recording studios are always trying to make themselves look like a different space to kind of have that vibe. You always see them with,
Okay, yeah.
like the kind of old rug and like a couch, and they're trying to make it feel more, kind of
More
less
homey.
clinical, I guess. Yeah. So, I mean, it's
Totally.
almost nice to just be able to walk into a space and turn it into a recording studio.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put it.
So you said anniversary is all love songs. Is it celebrating an anniversary, or like what inspired an album of love songs?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like to me, it's kind of an album for either for people who love songs, or maybe for people who don't like love songs,
Okay.
because they're not very. I've never really written a sort of song cycle with a theme like that before. And so I kind of just liked the challenge of that and the idea of having this kind of loose theme of love songs, but they're all really different, and there's some of them are kind of bitter, and some of them are just like a bit more fun, and some of them are very dark and almost like ghostly and sad. And it's not like a really sexy album. Like I was thinking about after the fact, I was like, there's not a lot of like real, like, I don't know. It's I don't know if they're really typical love songs. Like I almost felt that it was a way to, I don't want to say deconstruct, but I felt like it was a way to maybe interrogate that idea of a love song or kind of approach it in a bit of a critical way. And I had, yeah, there was a lot of anniversaries kind of swirling around in the last few years, and I had a big birthday, turning 40, and I'd been with, it had been the anniversary of my father dying, and it had been like a big anniversary with my partner and me, and so I just kind of loved the idea of an anniversary as this, again, kind of a unifying theme that can mean a lot of different things, and it's sort of bittersweet, you know, because it's like it's a celebration, but it's also like time is passing. Bring up so many mixed emotions, I guess.
Yeah, and that's is very true. My business partner just turned 40 this past year, and we threw him a surprise party. He was less than pleased. My big birthday is next year, and this year was like the first year where my birthday rolled around where I was like, wow, it's like, I don't want to say I feel old, but like that number next year, 50,
Oh yeah.
that's an old number. Like, and
Yeah.
it's just, it really, I was in a dark place this holiday season because my birthday is in the beginning of year. And yeah, it really kind of took a little bit of the celebration out and was a little more like, all right, I'm not. Life happens and you may not be exactly where you thought you should be. And, it was really kind of like, yeah, it was a weird, weird time around, birthdays like that. And
Yeah. And it's so funny because it's there's also that side of it where it's just, you know, like age ain't nothing but a number, and it's just it's actually pretty arbitrary. Like the day itself in a way doesn't really mean anything, and yet it can mean so much. And I feel like my partner is one of these people where he's like, I mean, he'll go along with a celebration, but he's like, well, the day, like New Year's, he's like, well, it doesn't mean, I don't feel like it's a different year. And I can understand that perspective, but I feel it like actually a lot. Like I recognize that it's meaningless on the one hand, but at the same time, like I feel older on my birthday, or I feel like it's a new start on the new year, or whatever it might, or like holidays and stuff like that. Like I sort of enjoy the idea that there's these kind of days that are like outside of time or special in some way. And so, yeah, I guess the idea of an anniversary like resonates with all of that stuff too.
Yeah, and it's of course it is, it's just another day, but it's one of those points where, it's always nice to kind of stop and tell the people that you're important, who are important to you, what they mean. But kind of like without those key days, you can kind of lose track of time and forget that you haven't done that. And
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, you mentioned that your father was no longer with us, and mine is not either. And his anniversary, on the first anniversary of his passing, like I really sat down and I'm like, I don't want this to be like a day that ruins my day. Like I want this. He was such a good dude and kind of happy-go-lucky, like very friendly. People really enjoyed, hanging out with him. And I'm like, I don't want that memory to be terrible. Like, I want it to be
Yeah.
remembering the good. So every year I take that time and I'll find a bar and a friend, and will hoist a shot to his memory, and I will go through my phone and text the people who are most important to me and being like, hey, you're super important to me and I love you.
Oh, I love that.
And, you know, it's just a random day in December, but it just gives me that time to be like, hey, just in case I haven't told you, you know, and it's,
yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's a great way to celebrate his memory.
Well, it sounds like it's more in keeping with the kind of person.
Yeah, in some ways, like, he was not the kind of guy to be like, hey, I love you.
Okay.
Like, he was very old school, you know, gruff, kind of almost stereotypical dad, you know, like, right, dad jokes and fix things, but you're like, I don't think you're supposed to fix a pipe with golf grip, dad. And he's like, does it ever leak? And you're like, no, it doesn't. I get it. But it was just one of those, like, I wanted his memory to always stay positive. And that's just kind of how I went with that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it kind of made me think of, like, when you're talking about your album, how you're like, some of them are dark, and it's like, yeah, love isn't always flowers and puppy dogs and chocolates. Like, sometimes it is kind of heartbreaking in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the songs, I was just talking to someone about this, that, second song on the record, Footsteps, although it's not really a super fun song, but it was kind of inspired by my mom. After my dad died, my mom would have these dreams always that my dad had come back, and she was like, had this awkward thing where she couldn't figure out how to tell him that she had thrown away all his shit. And when she would, exactly, like, that, yeah, that was kind of her reaction. Like, she would be telling the story and, like, laughing, even though it's so heartbreaking to think about. And I think it was like she was really haunted by these dreams. But at the same time, there's kind of this gallows humor in it, where it's like this very mundane thing. And we would always just kind of be laughing. And for sure, my dad had like a very black sense of humor, which I did not always appreciate. And and so it feels kind of fitting to, yeah, like, anyway, just all that to say, it's just one example, but I just can think of all these, like, all these moments of laughter, actually, in the middle of grief and in the middle of mourning. And there's something can be kind of beautiful about that.
It's almost like sometimes the best laughter can come from those points, because it's, mm-hmm, releasing so much tension and pressure. And part of what makes something funny is a surprise. You know, it's, the story's going along a certain way, and then there's a twist that is unexpected. And that's the last time you're expecting someone to crack a joke or do something silly, or, you know, something, oh my God, silly happening.
Totally.
And
totally.
My ex-wife's father had passed away, and, you know, we went to the service and they were doing kind of communion, which I was raised Catholic. So you go up the, mm-hmm, center aisle, you take your communion, you bang a right or a left, and you go back to the other end of your pew, and then you cut back in. And so I was kind of following the line, and I went around and I cut back into my pew, and I walk halfway down, and there's just this enormous pillar in the middle of the pew. And so my options were, like, stand on the pew and climb around it, or just sit in this random spot off to the side. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to sit here and, like, hopefully no one notices. And my ex-wife's aunt is, like, walking in the pew in front of me. She took one laugh of me just, like, kind of sitting, like, shyly by myself, and burst out laughing hysterically. And it was just one of those, it was so much pressure and tension, and just like me being a big dope, she just couldn't control it.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's so awkward. Yeah. I remember I think this was when my father died. I don't remember when this was, but we were at the funeral when something about, like, when it must have been my dad. I think they said, like, when did you lose your husband? And she said, he's not lost. I know exactly where he is. Room, and we all started cracking up. It was so stupid, and we were like, these people at this funeral are gonna think we're insane.
Yeah,
but then again, they probably see the full gamut of human emotion, so they're probably used to it.
Oh yeah, that's gotta be a weird job.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah. So your album.
Yeah, back to the roots. So yeah, I mean, love songs, and yeah, like you said, it can be for sure like a bittersweet thing.
Can I ask how long have you been with your partner?
You can ask. Let me think.
Oh,
What
I
year
didn't
is
mean to
it?
put you on the
It's
spot. We can
no,
edit
I'm
out any
trying
like wrong answer.
to. Yeah, I guess it's coming up to 9 years. Wow,
Wow.
that seems crazy.
That's amazing. What's
Yeah.
the
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just don't get divorced.
secret? Don't get divorced.
No, I'm just
Yeah.
kidding. That's like, there's like a anyway.
Are they also a creative person?
He is an audio engineer.
Okay,
So
so yeah.
it's very convenient, because it's like, dating someone that's in the music industry but not a musician. So like, and it's sort of a good complementary skill set. And yeah, so it's he just had surgery a few years ago, and that was one of the anniversaries too. He's doing fine now, and he's like, he wasn't in he was, relatively young, and he's always been super healthy, like way more so than me. But that was one of the things, like he had, like at one point I made him a cake made of like mostly oats and like wholesome ingredients, because that's what he
That
eats now.
sounds delicious.
And yeah, it was a carrot cake predominantly made of carrots.
Okay.
And anyway, so I was like, I made him this cake, and he was so happy, and he was like, "What's the occasion?" And I was like, "Oh, it's the 1 year anniversary of your surgery." And he just gave you this look, like he obviously appreciated it, but he was like, "Is that supposed to be a good thing? Like, why is that? Is that a thing now that we're celebrating?" And I was like, I guess not. It's kind of a weird thing for me to have kept track of, but
Yeah, but I think
so
everyone
yeah.
keeps track of like different weird things. I can't remember who I was talking to. And after actually I've moved around a lot in a very small area. Before I was married, it was like we were young and we were like in this apartment, upgraded to this apartment, to a house, got divorced, got the divorced dad apartment, and then like kind of continually upgraded and moved in and out with different partners and whatnot. And it's kind of like so many people are like, oh well, when did you live here? And I'm like, I don't remember when I moved here. And like, how
Yeah.
can you not remember the date? I'm like, I don't know, it just didn't seem important,
Yeah.
so I always find it interesting what dates people find important and are like, oh, that's a
Yeah.
date I have to remember.
I know, and it's funny too, because at this age, at my age, like in your 20s, like a couple years, and now it's like 9 years just goes by in the blink of an eye. It doesn't feel like.
Oh my God, yeah.
But it's also, I feel like it's a more, what's the word, like stable relationship. So maybe that's why there's not as much, like, we're not constantly like breaking up and getting back together all the time. So it's not, but that's how I would date things, I think, in the past. Like, it would be based on like what relationship was I in, or what was I in between things. And
Oh, crap, I still do
yeah, no, of course, me too. But
that.
that's what I'm saying, is like, now
Yeah.
I don't have that to fall back on, because it's just kind of been one person. And also, I'm sorry I made that dumb remark about not getting divorced. It's from
Oh no, it's not that dumb. Like
it's
that's
so silly. Did you ever watch that Jerry Seinfeld, Comedians in Cars,
Oh my
Getting
God, I
Coffee?
love that show.
It's so good, right? And I can't
Yeah.
remember which one, but that's what it's from. Somebody is working on this joke, and they're like, "What do you think is this joke, Jerry?" And that's the joke. It's like, what's the secret to a good relationship? Just don't get divorced. And then he's like, "That's stupid. That's not a good joke." And that's it. That's the whole sequence. It's just them
Yeah.
like workshopping the joke, and he's like, "No, that's not funny. You shouldn't be
I say
anymore."
dumb things all the times. I quote movies that no one has heard of or watched, and so it just seems like I'm saying completely random things.
Nice.
So I'm not sure if you're aware, but a few weeks, maybe like a week and a half ago, Facebook like crashed completely.
I heard about this.
Yeah, so it signed me out, and in order to sign back in, I had to remember my password. And which I didn't, obviously. I'm
Uh-oh.
like, all right, so I can go through the process of changing it, but it wouldn't, like, it was still screwed up and it wouldn't let me change my password. It took like 4 days. And we run so many events and do so much like social media promotion that it was really like a problem. So I'm like, all right, I'll just make like a fake Facebook profile that'll last me for a couple days until I can get back on. And so I named it Randy Basil. And so I had to have my business partner like grant Randy Basil permission to, do all the stuff for InebriArt. And we were talking the other day. He's like, why Randy Basil? I'm like, oh, it's a super inside joke. He's like, I'm your best friend and I don't understand that joke. I'm like, I know. It was like one person at this one specific event that I cracked the joke to, and it still makes me laugh. And he's like, all right, you're so bizarre. But,
I think it's a funny name, and I
it's
have
a great name.
no other context.
It was basically I was intoxicated and they said something about me being drunk, and I'm like, no, this is my alter ego, Randy Basil. It's not
Okay.
even that funny, but like it makes me
I
laugh.
just thought it, I assumed it was one of those. I assumed it was like a porn reference of some kind, like that, like when you take the name of your pet
Oh
and then the street
yeah.
you grew up on or
I
something
think
like
that
that.
was kind of like my angle, but it was just, yeah, I was just being dumb and it makes me laugh. And everyone else is like, I don't understand what that means, but it doesn't matter. And a lot of times, like, I'll crack a joke and no one laugh. I'm like, I'm laughing. I don't, it, if you're not laughing, that's fine. But
Right on.
yeah, that's, I mean, that's,
Joke's on you if you're not laughing.
yeah. So just don't get divorced. I found it funny when you
Okay.
said it. So what does Jerry Seinfeld
Yeah, what
know? Do you throw out, not throw out, do you pitch lyrics to your friends in cars with coffee when you're trying to like write your songs? Or do you just kind of do it on your own?
I mean, I guess to different extents. Like I'm pretty much a loner as far as writing, but then once I have the song, like in this album in particular, I think more so than work I've done in the past, because I was working so closely with Tony and we would just hang out and like play the songs and he learned all the songs and I would go through, if I was sort of like haggling or going back and forth over a particular lyric, we would have these like epic talks about, like what, just this like extreme sort of exegesis of one or two lyrics of my song, and that can be really fun to get into the weeds. And like I feel like I'm more open now to, like, I've done a songwriter residency where it was kind of, wasn't exactly co-writing, but you would kind of workshop your songs with people, and there were all these Nashville writers there. This was at a couple of years ago at the Banff Center in the Canadian Rockies, which is, anyway, it was such a beautiful time. But all that to say, going into it, I was like, I don't really care what a bunch of like Nashville people think about my song. Like, no, with all respect, I was like, I'm not really that kind of writer. Like, I'm not looking for like a clever, rhyme for my songs or whatever. But then it ended up actually being so lovely because they just have thoughtful feedback, and plus, like, sometimes I am looking for a clever rhyme, let's be honest. And like,
Yeah.
and just even that thing, like, if they didn't, like, the feedback was so kind and thoughtful that even if I didn't agree, it almost made me more solid in my own convictions. Like, if someone, didn't understand or care for a particular lyric, or had a little suggestion to change it, like, sometimes I would agree with them. And even if I didn't agree, it would kind of solidify my own kind of thoughts about it in a new way. And
Like you made a decision on purpose and it wasn't just a random, like, no, I did
yeah,
it because of
exactly.
this. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And so with this record, for sure, like, it's funny, I was just watching some B-roll from those videos because we're working on editing some of them, and there was this one thing, It was just a conversation of me and Tony at the church, and I was saying one of the lines in the song, the first single, in the lead track on the album, is called Anniversary Song. And there's a line that says, every time you call, our song starts playing on the radio, and which is kind of a reference to, like, I have a ringtone. I have a different ringtone for everyone I know, and so I just kind of thought it was funny. It's, again, it's like a, it's like an inside joke only for myself.
Right.
But I also thought it was a funny line because it's sort of, originally the line was, every time you smile, our song starts playing on the radio, which I just thought was, again, I just thought it was funny because it's like so corny and it's such a cheesy image. It's like a very sort of Disney, like rom-com kind of image of someone like, I don't
an
know,
Instagram relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just, so anyway, whatever. Something about this I thought was funny, but I couldn't decide if I should make it smile or call every time you call. And there's just, yeah, there's just this video of us talking about this for several minutes, more minutes than you might think. And then in the end, Tony was like, oh, I like call. So we went with call. But just to say, like, it's those little... It's really such a gift, actually, to have someone to have those conversations with, because otherwise you're just literally having the same conversation with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. So yeah, I've been really lucky to have some good kind of songwriting feedback and.
And feedback is such a weird thing, because unfortunately I get, I don't know, I want to say unfortunately, I get a lot of feedback from different people, and I don't want to say, I don't, trying to this, like, because some of it is really irritating and annoying, and then some of it is really helpful, and I don't know what the defining factor is, where it's just, sometimes I feel like people don't get it. Like, you don't, you know, you're giving feedback and you're just kind of like looking at this person. Like, a perfect example is, again, we work a lot with bars, brewers, and restaurants, and we were doing this paint night, and we do bong paintings, which are very, very popular because people like marijuana. And
sure do.
This guy starts telling me about how we are doing it wrong and we should be importing the bongs, and he could get an importer if he wanted to, and blah blah blah, and this whole thing. And this was like 5 minutes after he told me that he couldn't operate Eventbrite to purchase a ticket for the event. And I'm just like, I mean, I get everyone has a skill set, but I don't feel like, you know. And it just,
yeah,
it got to the point where it's very rude and dismissive, and then you're just like, you're not giving advice. Yeah, so it's,
I know, it's tough. It's tough, and sometimes people mean well. I hear all kinds of stories, especially like lady musicians, I feel like, have a lot of people telling you advice on how to, how
get
you should or
mansplained
shouldn't.
A lot, yeah.
A little bit of mansplaining.
I could see
and
that.
And then for some reason, what was the example I thought of? Oh yeah, this isn't really a mansplain, but the first thing I thought of is, I get a lot of people suggesting festivals or just like things to do in your career that are like extremely obvious, aspirational things. Like someone
why don't
will
you
be
play
like,
on Lollapalooza?
Yeah, exactly. Like literally, yeah. Those are the kinds of, and it's like very sweet, well-intentioned people. And I almost wrote back to someone this week who sent me this nice note, and he was like, oh, have you ever thought of playing at X Festival? And I almost wrote back and just said, like, bands have to be invited to play at festivals. They don't just show up.
Yeah.
You don't just, like, go there. Have you ever thought of, like, getting your song, like, placed in more movies and stuff like that? Like, stuff like that, where it's like, this is not,
yeah, I would love to do that.
Not a
Are
bad
you making a
idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not wrong. You're just an asshole. Anyway.
Yeah, no, and it is. It's so, and sometimes, like, you get it, like, people just, they don't have the experience in whatever it is you're doing. And I'm sure I've given those kind of, and you're, you know, most of it is coming from meaning to be helpful.
Totally. I'm sure I've done the same thing.
A lot of my friends own bars, and they just like the second someone says, "Do you know what you should do?" They're like, "I just want to throw them out."
Oh,
And like
yeah.
it's brutal. And so it's people love to give advice, and I don't know, something about, and I mean, I can be judgy too. I know it. Like it's not a great thing, but people can be really judgy and be like, "Oh, you know, you do that for a living," kind of thing. You're like, "Yeah, that's really fun, and I don't have to report to work in a stuffy office." And so yeah, it's an interesting experience. But I think that's why
Totally.
I like talking to creative people,
Why is that?
because we all kind
Because
of
they
get
don't
it.
sell.
Because we all kind of get it, you know? And even though, you know, you make music, and I may talk to someone who's a baker next, and then someone who's a screenwriter, we all kind of get it. We all kind of have similar experiences in different venues. And that's kind of what I asked about your partner. Were they creative? Because I am divorced. I'm a single person. I have not had a great time in relationships. And like the more I start to talk to the creative people, I'm like, oh, they all seem to date or married to other creative people. I'm like, maybe that's my problem.
Yeah, it's maybe. I mean, it's so funny that I was just talking to a friend of mine who's on the apps a little bit doing some dating, and she was like, it's just actually really hard to relate because people have very, I don't want to say that their life is boring. Like, I sometimes envy people who have a boring life, but it's more just that you have such a different, like, her example actually was just that she was doing a tour and people were like, this sounds horrible, but it was almost like they thought it was like so thrilling and exciting. She was like, you know, like it's cool going on tour and stuff, but it's not like a big deal in my life. Whereas for this person, like going on a trip would be like a very, you know, once a year kind of thing, just getting on an airplane. Or like, maybe that's a stupid example, but like, or just the fact that they don't know as many people as I'm sure you encounter this, like you just kind of meet a lot of people when you're doing a quote unquote creative labor. So, and then when you talk to the more normies, and they just kind of see the same like four people every day, which again, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it is interesting, like, because I don't think I'm always aware of those differences. And so maybe it is helpful having a partner that's a bit more like in the life to some extent and a
And I
bit
was
more
thinking of it the
relatable.
other day, where I can co compartmentalize. I love that you called them normies too. Where I can carpent carp carp. I got the word out one time. You know what I said.
Compartmentalize.
Thank you. Normies into like two factions. There are the people who are genuinely supportive and think that me having my weird creative business is like great, and they're like, you know, some people have been like, "Oh, you've inspired me to start my own business," and like really, really nice, genuine things. And they're like, "Oh, we see great things for you." And like a lot of people are like, "Oh, you're gonna be famous." I'm like, "I don't want to be famous. Like, I don't, that's not what I want." And then there's the other group that is, have you ever heard a Southerner say, "Bless your heart"?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, where they're like, "I think what you're doing is great." And you're like,
Oh,
"Ooh,
yeah.
just the way you said it, I don't like it." And just,
Yeah.
you know, they ask super inappropriate questions that like you would never. I ran into someone I worked with years ago, and they're like, "Oh, what are you doing now?" I'm like, "Oh, I just do inebriate art." And their first question was like, "Do you make enough money doing that?"
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, "You would never ask that of anyone else." And I am not a thin guy. I am definitely not starving to death. Like it was
No,
just,
same. But
yeah,
it's true,
it's.
and it's not like I actually am. I'm all for talking about money personally. I think it's great, and like I feel like it's like not that money is one of the ways that the man keeps us all down. But that said, people are so interested in a way where I'm like if I find out someone's a therapist, I'm not necessarily like, oh, so like you get paid like per client, or like so you have to pay rent on your office. Like it's just not the first kind of series of questions that I have. And I'll get like real, people will get really into the weeds, like wanting to know how I can make a living as an artist, which, frankly, it is shocking, I
Very
guess,
tough,
but it's
yeah. And
but
I think
like
a lot of it is that old mentality from, I'd say I feel like it started to go away in the 90s a bit. Especially now where you have like content creators and stuff. But of that, if you're an artist, you only make money once you're dead. Like that was what I always heard
right.
growing up. And it's like, no, like there are working professional artists that design packaging and
Yeah.
take graduation photos and like, so it's, yeah, it's a weird life.
Yeah, totally.
Oh
Actually,
man,
where
we
I
need to
thought
start a
you
new
were
app. We need to start a new app,
oh,
a dating for creative people. Oh my God, we need
that's
to
a
do that.
really good
I
idea.
know.
That's a great idea, 'cause I know
Yeah.
there's apps for like farmers and other, people with distinctive
Oh yeah.
lifestyle needs.
Like, and weirdly, I get all sorts of ones, and I'm like, I don't know why I'm getting ad for this. I don't know what weird algorithm I tripped, why I'm getting the exclusive dating app for people of color. And I'm like, I don't know what I was listening to that tripped that, but thanks, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
That's how you can make some real money.
You broke up there. Sorry.
That's how you can make some real money.
Yeah.
Start running a dating app.
Yeah. Have to put that on a list of things to do.
Absolutely.
So we have to do the final PR thing to make sure that your PR people are happy. Where can people go to get the album when it comes out?
You can get the album on my website, abigaillapel.com. Do you want me to spell that? It's a lot of L's.
Yeah, I thought lapel was fair. You can. I mean, I'm not going to judge anyone spelling. Mine's terrible. So go ahead.
Okay, ready? It's
Yeah.
abigaillapel, like Peter, ell.com.
And
That's my website. And yeah, you can get it on. It's vinyl and CD copies. It's on all the streaming platforms. And I'm going to be on tour across Canada and the US in the spring.
yeah, and that's why I was on your website earlier today, because you're coming to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And I am gonna try to make the show. I think it was June. You're June 1st, I think. You're in Cambridge.
I will take your word for it. Let me look. Let me look at my
I'm pretty sure
website.
that's what it was.
Yeah,
Yeah.
June 1st at Passim in Cambridge / Boston.
Yeah,
That's the
so I
one.
think I'm gonna try to check that show out. I'm pretty
Nice.
excited. Yeah,
Oh, great.
I'd never heard of that club, so I was like scoping out the club. I'm like, it looks like a intimate venue. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an old folk sort of mainstay. Like I think like Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell played there back in the day, and
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Bob Dylan played here in Plymouth at Memorial Hall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think one of his album covers was shot in like down by Plymouth Rock too. I think that's what someone told me.
Ah, cool.
And then his son and the Wallflowers played here 2 years ago.
Oh, are they're still around?
Apparently, I
Yeah.
kind of did the same thing. Someone's like, "Ooh, the Wallflowers are coming," and I'm like,
Yeah.
"Oh,
Bless
sure,
their heart.
yeah." Very nice, very nice. No, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. It was a lot of fun,
Yeah, likewise.
and I'm glad I got you on the show, because I have a new artist to listen to when I'm needing to kind of wind down from the night before or wind up into a new day. That kind of chill vibe. I listen to like a lot of white suburban reggae around those times, but I feel like yours is going to fit good too. So yeah, I appreciate it, and hopefully I will see you in gym.
Nice. Yeah, great talking to you, and hopefully you see them.
Awesome. And listeners, you can tune back in, like it's radio. You can listen to a new episode next Monday, and we'll see you guys then. And thanks for checking out the show today, listeners. If you enjoyed the content today, you can go over to patreon.com/inebriart to support the show. You can join over there for just a few dollars a month and help us provide this fun content that you just checked out. You can also email us at inebriart.com with your questions, complaints, and concerns, or you can find us on all social medias at inebriart or at inebriart6 on Instagram.
And also don't forget to check out our other shows, Bar Talk Podcast, Old Colony Cast, InebriArt, and all the other shows on the InebriArt Network, which you can find at InebriArt.com. Thanks again for listening.